What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to Double M Live. It feels good to be back. Got Mike Nice in the building. What's going on, brother?
We're back, man. I know we missed a week or whatnot, but you know this train don't necessarily slow down for anything. We back right at it. We back right with it. So let's get it popping.
And why did we miss that week?
Big game. Oh, man. Last week, big Red Sox versus Yankees. I know you know your sports. Red Sox versus Yankees, one of the biggest rivalries in sports history. And that was a playoff game, too. And not only was it just a playoff game, it was a one-and-done game. So winner go home. Red Sox versus Yankees at Fenway Park. Had to tune in. So, you know, we wish the Red Sox luck. And they came up with the victory, and they advanced. So we back, though. Episode 93.
My born year.
93. I'll let y'all do the math. But yeah, that's a special, special year. Special year right there. Special number. Seven away from the big hundo. You know, the road to continues here. Double M Alive. I'm really excited about this show. I think, you know, we share the same sentiments when it comes to this show. We took a week off, and when you take a week off, that means there's a lot to talk about. And oh boy, is there a lot that we got to get through tonight on Double M Live. But as always, if you are tuned in right now, hit the share button, like, subscribe if you have not subscribed, and join us in the conversation as well, because it's not only between Mike Nice and I, it's with the peoples, man. And we can't wait to hear from what your guys, what your opinion, to join the conversation.
Yeah, you know, like Marv said, this is an interactive show. We do a lot of talking, but we definitely trying to peep that comment box to see what you guys have to say, see your thoughts and feelings and opinions as well. So Marv said it all. Hit that like, subscribe, hit that share button. Said this many times, and I'll say it again. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Double M is live right now.
Yeah, man. So we got so much to talk about, Mike. We got to just get right to it. Straight to the point. Mike Nice, what is on the playlist tonight?
On today's playlist, episode 93 with Double M Live, John Gruden. Oh, man. How things have switched up wild for John Gruden. And if you don't know, we're definitely going to dive into it with our first topic of the night. John Gruden is no longer the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. He is out, and he is out for some very serious reasons. We're going to dive in it as well, but I tell you this, you might not be seeing or hearing from John Gruden anytime soon ever again, possibly, but we'll get into that. Also on the playlist, Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is in a situation right now where we may not see Kyrie Irving play basketball again in the near future. It's quite possible. But the NBA could possibly have seen the last of Kyrie Irving play basketball. We're going to get into that conversation as well as to what's going on with Kyrie Irving, the Brooklyn Nets, and in that situation. Also, keeping it in the NBA world, Ben Simmons has things finally changed in the Ben Simmons camp about him not wanting to play basketball and him wanting to stay home, willing to stay home. Is things finally turning around for Ben Simmons, and is he finally seeing that money talks? So we'll dive into that conversation with Ben Simmons for sure. Also, want to talk about the Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder fight, a big boxing match in the heavyweight division. The trilogy was completed this past Saturday night. And if you don't know, Tyson Fury came out victorious. But we'll definitely dive into what that fight looked like for those two guys and what the future of their careers is possibly looking like. So we'll dive into that as well. Also, you know, I can only quickly highlight it at the beginning of the show. Red Sox are moving on. And if you follow the Red Sox this season, where they are right now might be shocking to a lot of people. So we'll quickly touch upon that. And also, one of the hottest shows on Netflix right now, Squid Game. If people are hip, If you're not hip, be prepared for some spoilers. So, you know, it's coming because we definitely going to give a little Squid Game review here on Double M Live. So much different topics, so many different conversations. We're going to have it all for sure. Again, we want to hear from you. That comment box is wide open, so definitely tap in. But without further ado, Marv, let's get right into it.
Yeah, man, let's get to it. As of last night, on October 11th, we are recording on the 12th, John Gruden handed in his resignation papers, said, yeah, I can no longer be the coach for the Las Vegas Raiders. Real quick, I'm pretty sure you guys are up to speed, but if you're not, quick scope. On Friday, last Friday, you know, it got leaked out that Gruden came out with some racist remarks on the head of the NFLPA, a black man from, I'm blanking on his name currently.
Demarius Smith.
And, you know, pretty much talking about his features, saying his lips are like rubber tires, big as rubber tires, such like that. That came out, and, you know, obviously people saw that and said, yeah, that's pretty racist. And Gruden came out and said, obviously, he did his apology, quote-unquote apology, and said that's, he uses that term to talk about liars. And, you know, for the most part, it was racist. Everyone had their opinion on it, but no one thought that he was going to lose his job for something like that. He wasn't an employee of the NFL at the time. And this is when he was, you know, doing Monday Night Football, working for ESPN. And he was, obviously the quotes were alarming, but I personally didn't think he was going to lose his job or needed to be suspended for it. It was just that his true color showed. When you first saw just Friday, Mike, those messages that came out, what was your thoughts?
Yeah, obviously they came off as, you know, racist when you say something like he did. And similar to you, I didn't think that John Gruden would be in a situation where he would lose his job. At first and foremost, those remarks were in an email. Initially, it was said to just be an email that came out 10 years ago. And it doesn't matter 10 years ago or not. It was wrong to say, you know, came off like you both said, a very kind of racist way. And I just figured he'd apologize. He'd make a statement. He would apologize to Smith. He'd apologize to the team. He'd make a public apology and probably just move forward from there. But that wasn't the end of the John Gruden situation. So I'll let you continue from there.
Yeah. So then, you know, reportedly probably around Sunday, it got reported that, oh, no, there's more emails. There's an investigation going on against the Washington football team, and John Gruden's involved in it. Nothing was said, but it was out there that there's more emails going out. And once you hear there's more emails going to come out, I already started to think, this doesn't look good for Gruden. I didn't know what it was going to be. It's just, I don't know how he's going to survive this. And then come Monday, yesterday, come find out there's what he's talking. He's calling Gruden the F word, the homo slur of
not Gruden. He's calling
Gruden. He's calling Goodell. Excuse me, Goodell. Calling Goodell the F word. He's sending new pictures of cheerleaders. He's what else is he doing?
He's talking negative towards women.
Yeah, calling women different types of slurs. LGBTQ slurs, more racial comments, and that's when it was like, yeah, you gotta go. And I think right away, once that happened, everything that Gruden said on Friday about, oh, you know, it's just a term that he uses to talk about liars, the true colors came out, and Gruden left. And what's not getting really talked about, and I see Durst coming too, which we're definitely gonna bring up, is how comfortable Gruden is to send out these emails. Mike and I are friends. If Mike and I are watching TV and I say some type of joke, I say it because I'm comfortable around Mike. I could say that joke in front of Mike, and I know I'm just comfortable with him. I know he's gonna receive it well. There's some jokes I say in front of Mike, I could never go say in front of other people. It's just how comfortable you are in those surroundings. Gruden is comfortable enough to say racial remarks, talk about other people's sexuality in emails to these high executives, CEOs that involve the Washington football team. So obviously, they're saying like this over 60,000 emails that's going on right now, and they peeled out the ones from Gruden and brought it up. There's a lot more to this investigation, and Gruden was the one who got singled out at the moment.
Yeah, Gruden definitely the one that got singled out, and I saw again, saw Dirk's comments as well saying, you know, it started out that they weren't even looking for Gruden. Like, this wasn't something where, oh, we need to find Gruden and what he said or what he did. They were more so investigating things that were happening with the Washington football team. And in the midst of that, they stumbled upon Gruden and everything that he was saying and the different remarks and whatnot. And once they uncovered more and more, it just got worse and worse for Gruden. And now it's in a situation, all his business is out. Who knows? There could be more stuff that comes out because the investigation is still ongoing.
There's a lot more that should come out.
The investigation is still ongoing. So who knows what more can be uncovered about Gruden, more about Gruden, more about other people. Who knows what else is going to possibly come out while this investigation is still ongoing. But where it is currently right now, not only did John Gruden have to step down, and I think that was a polite way of the, instead of them just firing his ass, you know, he resigned from his position. But not only is he done coaching, you know, the Raiders, I think more importantly, John Gruden's career in coaching and media and whatever the case may be, it's over for John Gruden. It's over. And, you know, I know we were talking to, I think Marvin and I, we were talking about this before, Sunday, before more information came out, because I remember we were watching it on TV and they said, oh, John Gruden said this, that, and third. And our both of our reactions, oh, <there's more?" laughs> but at the time we were like, oh, he said some racist remarks, whatnot. He definitely needs to apologize to Smith, definitely needs to apologize to his team, make a public apology just to the masses. And it'd probably just get moved on. We're talking about something that took place in 2011 that, you know, either whether it took place in 2011 or whatnot, it still wasn't right for him to do. And then all this other stuff comes out. And like I said before, it wasn't right in 2011. It's not right today. And it's not going to be right 10 years from now. So I think the fact that John Gruden lost his job and the fact that his career in coaching, his career in the media and whatever else he may be did before trying to, I don't know, but it's over for John Gruden. And I don't think we'll be seeing or hearing from John Gruden again anytime soon.
Yeah. I mean, already the remarks was going to affect the locker room. No matter what, you know, you're coaching black players who are grown ass men, and you're talking about features of another black man. So now when I'm talking to you, and you're yelling at me in practice, or you're telling me something this, or we're having a disagreement, I can't look at you seriously and think that you're just talking to me as a man and you don't have anything racial behind your tone or any your thinking. So that already is messed up. And this is 10 years ago. Gruden is not no 20-year-old man, 30-year-old man. Still, Gruden's, what, in his 50s?
Yeah, he's like 55 or something like that.
He's in his 50s. He's a grown-ass man when it happened. Established already, established coach, already had all the accolades prior to this. It's not right. The one thing I'm not sure about is you say we're never going to hear from him again. I don't know. Time and time again, we've seen people come back, whether it takes 5 years. Time is a funny thing in media. When you step aside for a while, people just tend to just say, all right, I'm not saying he's going to coach again, but I could see him back in media in some sort. Not at the moment. But I could see him having a podcast in some type of platform and still talking football. Let's think about Hulk Hogan.
Oh, boy.
Hulk Hogan, he says so. He went straight there. The N-word and all of that. what happened? What did it take? Maybe 5-6 years? Maybe it did take too long.
And they brought him right back out on the stage.
So for him to come back in the WWE circle. I mean, then again, it is the WWE. And
yeah, and they are questionable as it is.
Their tolerance for the Edward is not as high as other companies are. But that's just using an example, as we've seen time and time again, where people have messed up in the media and such, and have gotten opportunities after time goes on. Gruden is just the latest thing.
Yeah, and I mean, prior to him coaching, I was a big... paid attention to the stuff that John Gruden did in the media. I definitely paid attention to what he was doing. He had that little segment where he would sit down with quarterbacks.
I love that segment.
I love watching that because he's a somewhat entertaining guy. Listen to him talk sometimes about when he talks to the coaches and whatnot. Interesting guy, entertaining guy, would say. So yeah, Mar, maybe you're right. Maybe he could pop up a couple of years from now, but right now he's canceled. I mean, I just recently, not too long ago, a couple hours ago, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers removed John Gruden from their Ring of Honor. And if you know, Ring of Honor is basically like, you know, teams that retire certain numbers or acknowledge players and whatnot, they kicked them out of that. Yeah. That's like the Celtics taking one of them numbers off the banner because they did something crazy.
Yeah.
Or the Red Sox, you know, they got all their numbers in right field. That's like them taking one of them numbers down because one of those dudes did something crazy. They kicked John Gruden out of their little Ring of Honor, Ring of whatever it is, because they're taking a stand at saying that they're not for anything that John Gruden said. Even if it was 10 years ago, they don't care. They're not putting up with it now, and they're making a stand. So, and that's pretty major. That's pretty major. And, I mean, repercussions like that doesn't surprise me. And then I just saw the comment from Dirk saying that the Raiders, which is true, they recently had a player who came out.
All about that.
Yeah, he came out as the first – active NFL gay player.
I don't think he's the first.
Maybe not the first. Actually, I don't know if he might be the first that was actively still playing.
Oh, Michael Sam never got an opportunity to play. So.
Yeah, Michael Sam. Did he? I don't know if Michael Sam played in the actual regular season game. Yeah,
he did play in a regular season.
Okay, yeah. The dude on the Raiders who's actively playing, like starting whatever linebacker, I don't know his position, but you know, I think he was the first to actively come out as gay. And you're on the same team as John Gruden, so you was over there talking about, as a black player, how am I supposed to look at John Gruden at anything he says? That player who came out as gay, how's he supposed to look at John Gruden? He lost the whole damn locker room. he lost everybody. Majority of the players are black already. You got a gay player on the team, like nobody's messing with you. Nobody's messing with you. Thank you, Dirk. You said the first on the 53-man roster, that player that came out. I don't remember his name right now. John Gruden is not a good situation for him, and I'm not surprised that the repercussions came out the way they did in terms of him losing his job, Tampa Bay kicking him out of their Ring of Honor. Like, in this day and age, you cross a line like that, you're going to get canceled. You said, maybe you come back 4 or 5 years from now, whatever, but you're going to get some kind of cancellation.
And it's crazy. I'm glad Derek brought up that player that came out, which leads to another point. And I heard saw Shannon Sharp bring it up as well. And this was a topic. If you guys have been following Netflix, and they're getting mad at Dave Chappelle on what he was saying. Is when the comments came out Friday, I think we all believe, we're all in census, that Gruden was not going to lose his job for what happened and for what he said. He came up with that lame excuse. We understand it was a racial remark, but he came up with that lame excuse. He wasn't going to lose his job. He might have lost the locker room. He wasn't going to lose his job. When it came out with the LGBTQ, the homophobic slurs, there was a bigger uproar. Now CNN and everything is talking about it. And, you know, the conversation that Dave Chappelle was trying to bring up, and I'm not going to try to, anyone can watch it on their own. The conversation Dave Chappelle's trying to bring up is the way we treat minorities in this country is a lot different. My question is, had the first report come out about John Gruden's having homophobic slurs in the emails, it was had nothing to do with race, it was just homophobic slurs, how would that have been received around the world compared to us hearing about the rubber tire lips? I think it would have been different. I honestly think it would have been received a lot differently, and there would have been a lot more heat on John Gruden for saying what he did compared to the rub. I mean, shows talked about it. You know, we saw Randy Moss's reaction and how it's unacceptable. But I really would like to see how that, if it was flipped, how it would have been received. And I think, honestly, my honest opinion, I think Dave Chappelle's right, and it would have been received a lot differently.
I actually do agree with that, especially after watching that Dave Chappelle special on Netflix and how he explained it and described his point of view. You know, it made me think about it a lot more. And I definitely feel as if in this day and age, if it was flipped and the comments that initially dropped from these emails that John Gruden was making was, you know, homophobic slurs and whatnot, John Gruden possibly would have resigned on Friday. Because the heat probably would have been put on much more. The heat would have been turned up times 10. And I mean, the heat should have been turned up regardless for him making these remarks. And I mean, he tried to be slick about it and say he wasn't trying to be racist or anything. He's talking about the lie. He tried to be slick about it. But I definitely believe if his comments were homophobic and whatnot, the heat would have been turned up much higher for John Gruden, and he probably would have been out of his job on Friday. Because I think the consensus probably for most people was at the time, all right, he's going to need to apologize, and he'll probably move on from there. Flip it. In this day and age, in this country we live in, I don't know if apologies would have just been enough if it was homophobic slurs that came out from John Gruden. But then you take homophobic slurs, you take racist stuff, you take sexist stuff, you mix it all together, you got to go, John Gruden.
Well, it's over.
It's over. You have to go. So, I mean, it's an interesting thing to think about what you just brought up for sure, Marv. Looking at Dirk's comments here, it says, someone said that the remarks that came out later were worse, but he caught himself and corrected himself. I don't know if you meant in the emails or whatnot, but I mean, the investigation is still ongoing, so we don't know what else could possibly come out.
Yeah, and another thing is, someone's got it out for John Gruden. Like, these were leaked purposely. And I feel like if John Gruden had resigned Friday, right, after the remarks he said about Smith, and he had just resigned. Another question I have is, would the other emails have leaked out? It seemed like whoever's leaking these emails were going to keep leaking them until the NFL fired John Gruden. That's what it looks like. It really looks like, because nothing else has come out. Why all of a sudden, during the middle of an investigation, these are the only things that come out? How come we haven't heard about the responses to these emails yet?
Or who else was in the emails?
Who else was in the email, and how are they reacting to it? Even if that one reaction was a LOL, that's a big thing. Like, why haven't we heard any of responses or reactions to this? It's just John Gruden who got singled out with this. And we're not stupid. We know there's a lot more to it. We know that this is going on all NFL. Their places, but John Gruden was the one who got singled. Someone had it out for him, and they wanted to make sure he was out of there, which is crazy to even think about.
If there was someone or group of people that had it out for John Gruden, they succeeded, because dude's canceled. It's over for John Gruden. He lost his job. He won't be doing any type of coaching or anything in the media anytime soon. They succeeded. If someone definitely had it for John out for John Gruden, they succeeded. And you're right. With all the emails and whatnot, that why is it only John Gruden's name that popped up? That makes it look very interesting, as if somebody wanted to see John Gruden burn, and they succeeded.
And Gruden had no idea, because his, like we were just saying, he had an excuse, right? Oh, the, you know, that's just something I say about a lot when people are lying and stuff. He has, John Gruden has no idea that there's so much more. There's so much more in the barrel waiting for him if he got away with that part. Oh, he got away with that one? Okay. What about this?
And we're talking 2011. Sometimes I'll be on Facebook and Facebook memories pop up from stuff I posted in 2011. I'm like, I said that? What? Why was I typing like that? What's good with my grammar? Like, I'm saying that now. Imagine what John Gruden is saying about stuff that he could have possibly said in 2011. It's going to be interesting to see how the rest of this investigation unfolds and what could possibly come up. And if there is an agenda, if there's a group of people that's trying to get some people, they got John Gruden out the way. Who's next?
It's really crazy to think about this. It always involves the Washington football team. When the worst ran organization for years. They have all of these sexual accusation accounts in their buildings. The name in itself, the owner is horrible. They always have something going on. And now what's going to come, and people are going to demand more. People are going to demand names to come out and what's going on. This won't go away quietly anymore, because now we know there's a source to it. And if I'm John Gruden or John Gruden's camp, if I'm going down, hey, everybody going down with me.
John Gruden definitely probably at home wherever, like, now that I remember these 2011 emails, this is just me talking wild like this. So we got to see what else unfolds from here for sure.
And those emails range from the second part, anyways, range from 2010 to 2018.
Jeez.
And like, what are you doing? We haven't even gotten to all of the things that in the emails, but what are you doing sending naked pictures of cheerleaders and like, bro, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's gonna be interesting to see what else. Adam Schefter is on it, so. Go might wake up in the morning to a breaking news. So in this email, like, we'll see what other news comes out, because there's definitely from 2011 to 2018, some of the stuff has to drop from these emails. But
60K emails.
We'll be on it. You know, Double M for sure. Whatever else drops from this investigation, we'll definitely bring up the conversation here on Double M Live for sure. But let's switch gears a little bit. Let's turn it over to the NBA now. We talked a little NFL, John Gruden. Let's turn it over to the NBA and their big storyline right now. The Brooklyn Nets, it's fair to say controversial. Can I say controversial? Point guard?
Yeah, he's hella controversial.
Brooklyn Nets controversial point guard, Kyrie Irving, right now. Here's the situation. You know, these different states and arenas, whatnot, have their vaccination mandate. You know, you can't enter the arena, you can't be in arena unless you're vaccinated or whatnot. And even though Kyrie Irving hasn't come out and revealed his vaccination status, it's well known, especially after what happened today, that Kyrie Irving hasn't got vaccinated yet. When at the beginning of media day or leading up to media day, you know, the reports were Kyrie Irving is not vaccinated. So, you know, quite possibly he won't be able to play in these certain arenas and whatnot. He can't go to certain games in certain arenas, in certain states. Fast forward to today, you know, with the whole back and forth, part-time missing games here and there, Brooklyn Nets just came out and said, look, until Kyrie, and they were smart how they worded it too.
Right.
Until Kyrie Irving handles his situation, he will no longer be a member of the Brooklyn Nets at this current point in time. Basically saying, because Kyrie Irving is not vaccinated, we're not doing no part-time BS. He's not going to be here until he gets vaccinated and can join the team completely. Which is, it's pretty wild. Pretty wild, because it was already wild at the idea of, is Kyrie Irving going to be a part-time player? Is he really going to come into the season and play some games and miss some games? Now it's in a situation where, look, Brooklyn Nets said, don't come back until you're vaccinated. And that's where we are right now. Kyrie Irving, in the midst of all of that, because now all of the questions are, You know, what will Brooklyn Nets do? Will they sit him? Will they maybe try to trade him or not? Kyrie Irving has threatened to retire if Brooklyn tries to move him. Now, Brooklyn's not trying to move you, but they're telling you don't come back. So now the ball's kind of in Kyrie Irving's court. What are you going to do, Kyrie Irving? Are you going to get vaccinated? Are you going to retire? Like, what is your next move, Kyrie Irving? Because the ball is literally in your court now.
Yeah, it's such a wild situation. Prior to doing the show, I was just reading up on The Athletic, just dropped an article on why Kyrie hasn't got his vaccination.
Oh yeah, what that had to say.
So it's pretty interesting. And if you guys don't, if you can, like, subscribe to The Athletic. That's where I get all my information from. It's really good reporting out there. So Kyrie Irving, pretty much he's not anti-vaccine and he's not anti-science, as Kyrie would say, but he's trying to make a stand for the people who are losing their jobs due to the fact that they are not getting vaccinated. As you know, NBA is not the only place where mandated vaccinations are happening. All around the world, jobs are currently mandating some of their employees to get vaccinated. Not every job, but some jobs are. And some people who are refusing to get vaccinated are getting fired. And I guess Kyrie wants to be a voice for those people, and he wants to stand up for them and say that this isn't right, which I also agree with. I mean, everyone has their choice, right? And I don't think that people should be unemployed. But no, so I understand the jobs as well that are mandating people to get vaccinated. This is killing people. This is a global pandemic that happened. Now, do I think Kyrie needs to be the face of that? Does Kyrie need to be the voice for those people? I don't know, because we haven't really heard from him or heard his stance out of his mouth, or he hasn't really come out and said anything about it. The goal for you to join Brooklyn and join KD and James Harden was to win a chip. Like, we know this isn't about money, or Kyrie's made a lot of money. He has a big shoe deal. He's made over $100 million, but the goal is to win a chip. You don't get vaccinated on a team like that. You're telling me that you don't, championship's not really your top priority, which is okay. If that's the case, but that's KD's number one priority. That's James Harden's number one priority. That's the whole organization's number one priority right now. And if you want to go and be a voice for these people and speak up and not be a part of this team, then it's got to be Sia. And that's what they pretty much said. They said, hey, man, we can't have Kyrie be part-time. And I'm so glad that they did that, because that was going to that was going to be a lot. You want to talk about a distraction? Imagine after every game that Kyrie plays, you know what all the questions are going to be. So how does it feel that now, you know, you guys are in a rhythm and you're going back home and Kyrie won't be there? Or if Kyrie played and they had a bad game, do you think that Kyrie not being able to play with you guys fully is messing up the team? It was going to be a huge, and this is in New York, Brooklyn, like, it was going to be a huge media storm. It's what they would have to talk about every single day. It was just going to affect the team. So the Nets did an amazing job on just nipping that in the butt and saying, yeah, we're not doing no part-time. If things change and the mandate goes away in New York, Kyrie can join us. If he gets fully vaccinated, Kyrie can join us. He's making his choice. We're not mad at him. He just can't be here right now. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I've been thinking about this all day, because it's literally two sides of this whole situation, and neither side is necessarily wrong. Like, you kind of explained it. You got the basketball side of it, where KD, James Harden, everybody on that team, the coaching staff, the organization, they're all locked in on trying, like, they're the favorites to win the championship. Fully healthy, yep. The Brooklyn Nets are the favorites to win a championship. And especially going into the season, where KD is now a year removed from his Achilles injury. James Harden, you know, he's not dealing with all the nonsense from last season. He's on the team. He's had training camp. He's locked in. Like, Their goal is championship or bust. And you want everybody to be locked in with that same mindset of, look, we're coming into the season trying to get to the championship and get a trophy and bring it back to Brooklyn, which is huge, and I get it. You want everybody to be locked in, and because Kyrie's not locked in, it's a huge distraction, and it's not good for the team. It's not good for the NBA. I get that. Then on the other side of it, Kyrie's trying to make a stand. Because, like you said, Marv, and we've seen and heard, there are people out there who, because of their own whatever reasons, don't want to get vaccinated. And unfortunately, because of their reasons, they're losing their job. You could be a hell of a worker, do your job amazing. But because you feel a way or whatever religious or science, like whatever the case is, you don't want to get vaccinated, you will get fired just off the strength of you refuse to take this vaccination. And I can fully understand why Kyrie is trying to make a stand for those people because, you know, it's the voice of the voiceless. I get it. His activism, I see Sam in the chat talking about it. Kyrie, his activism. Kyrie does a lot for the people, a lot for the community. He does a lot. And it's great to witness. It's great to see. But unfortunately, again, like Sam said, everything he's doing, which is great and no one's taking away from that, is going to have him not playing basketball in the NBA. And Kyrie has to decide. Kyrie, it's hit a crossroad. It hit that fork in the road where you either got to go one of two ways, Kyrie. You either get vaccinated and show that you're locked in with your job and your team who's in a position to win a championship. You either go that route or you decide that, look, I got stuff outside of basketball that is bigger than basketball, bigger than the NBA, bigger than championship goals, and I want to go down that route and be that voice of the voiceless person. It's two routes. And I'm not necessarily saying you're wrong in a route. I mean, the basketball fan in me, you know, damn, I want to see Kyrie Irving play basketball. He's an amazing talent. You know, we could get into the basketball conversation, probably the greatest handles in NBA history. We can go that route and talk about it. At the same time, Kyrie's trying to be the voice of the people who don't get their voices heard. He's trying to take a stand for something that he truly believes in. And I can't knock Kyrie for taking a stand for that. So here's where we are. And like I said before, the ball's in Kyrie's court. I see Josh in the comment, Soul Brother, saying, I think Kyrie's priority since he got to the Nets is not basketball. And unfortunately, if we're going back and speaking just from the basketball side of it, ever since Kyrie has got to the Brooklyn Nets, it's been a mess. Ever since Kyrie left Cleveland, it's been a mess, to be honest. Ever since he left Cleveland, it's been different things with Kyrie Irving that have just been kind of But ever since he's definitely gotten to the Brooklyn Nets, it's been a mess. And maybe some of it's not all his fault because there's a lot of stuff going on in society that, yes, has nothing to do with basketball. You could argue bigger than basketball, that is. But in terms of us knowing what Kyrie Irving's job, his place of employment has been for the last, I don't know how long he's been in the league now, 8, 9 years, whatever the case may be. He's not fully locked in with his job, with his place of employment. He's not giving his employer his everything, his all. And that's where a lot of people take issue with Kyrie Irving, because you know your job is to be an NBA player and being the best player you could possibly be and try to help your team win championships. But because you're not locked in, now that's where a lot of people are taking issue with him.
Yeah, I mean, if we're being honest, if you were to give truth serum to the Nets GM and the Nets owner, and you were to ask them, if you were to do it all over again, would you sign Kyrie Irving? They say no. And they wouldn't hesitate. They wouldn't hesitate. They'd say no. And for all the reasons that you highlighted, you know, whether it's been injury or just random outings, just leaving to take a mental health break or not getting vaccinated and all of these things, you know, Kyrie could have his reasonings and it could be valid. But when you're talking about work as a job, you need to be there every single day. Availability. Kyrie has not been a player who's been available for his team. If you were to ask the Nets if they would if they were to go back, would they sign Kyrie? They'd say no. I'm telling you.
Yeah. And I'm looking at, again, Josh's comments, making very interesting comments. Let me pop that up there as well while I talk. The way Kyrie has acted since he's been a member of the Brooklyn Nets, if that was any other type of job, if you worked anywhere else, they would have been fired your ass. These mental breaks, you're leaving for a birthday. This and Kyrie, if it was any other job that wasn't what Kyrie Irving's job is, you probably would have been fired because place is not going to put up with that. But you're probably right, Marv. Like, unfortunately, as great as a player Kyrie Irving is, because at the end, that's what people see somewhat still is his talent. People know the talent that the man has with a basketball in his hand. He's a magician. He is nasty at basketball. That's why, you know, when the whole Celtics thing happened, I hated Kyrie. I'd hated it. But part of me was like, damn, I love to watch the man play basketball so much that, like, I'm pissed at what he did to the Celtics, but I still enjoy watching him play because he's so talented. But then the man is just a nuisance. He's a headache for an organization, especially in a situation that the Brooklyn Nets are in where they brought Kyrie and KD together. They went out to get James Harden to add another piece just so they can be in a position to win a championship. Hell, they could win, if all things are right, they could win a couple championships, to be honest. Like the Kyrie, KD, Harden situation, not like a real one and done. Like if they're all in at a good enough age and could have the right piece of run, they could win a couple of championships. And yeah, right now, one person can screw that up. Not to say they still can't be a good team with KD and Harden. But you have KD, Harden, and Kyrie Irving. Now you're talking about a serious problem. And we saw we got a glimpse of what that looks like a little bit last season until various situations and injuries. But
you got to think
Kyrie's screwing things up for them.
Going back to the basketball side of it, it's thinking about KD. Yeah, KD's going to say the right things and back up his boy. It was like, nah, bro, I'm not getting any younger. I'm trying to win a chip. Trying to win a chip here. We got close last year off all of because of me. Just because of me. And just if it's Harden and KD, they can still make it work. They could still get out of the East with them too. Obviously, Kyrie brings a different dynamic. But another thing I think about is Harden's contract. Harden becomes a free agent after this year. So if it doesn't work out because Kyrie's not there and stuff, Harden can peace. Still make a max contract somewhere else. And then you just leave KD by himself to Brooklyn, where KD came to Brooklyn because he wanted to play with Kyrie.
Yeah. It's crazy to think about. And I wish everything that KD has said in the media about the whole situation, he's trying to keep it peaceful and really say it's not his concern. But I really wish I could know his feelings about the situation or even conversation that he's had with Kyrie. I wish I could be a fly on the wall with those things, because I really got to think to myself, if I'm Kevin Durant, I'm pissed. I'm not happy. I mean, maybe it's a flip-flop situation because you're probably pissed and not happy, but at the same time, maybe he respects what Kyrie is standing for. But we don't know. KD is a basketball player. He has his job. Of course, you know you want your boy to be right there working with you, especially knowing how talented he is. I wish I could know Kevin Durant's real thoughts and feelings. Because to the media, he'll keep saying, you know, that's Kyrie's business. He got to handle his own thing, whatever. But I wish I could really find out how he feels, because part of me believes there's a piece of him that's not happy. That can't be happy. There's no way that he's perfectly fine with this current situation. Well, Kyrie's not going to be with us this season. Okay, whatever.
This is my question as well. So in order for the Nets to have made this decision, what I read is obviously they sat down with James Harden and Kevin Durant.
Yeah, saw that too.
If Durant has said, no, I need Kyrie to play part-time games. Do the Nets pivot?
I mean,
because I would feel like Durant has the last say in anything with this organization. If Durant looked at them and said, nah, Kyrie's playing. Just have him play the road games. I don't care what you guys say. Have him play. Do the Nets pivot that situation?
But
I'm not saying he did. Obviously, he didn't.
Yeah, but I'm saying even if KD said that, the Nets can be like, yo, we don't give a damn. What is KD going to do? He's going to sit games too? You're going to sit out?
But you don't. But you don't want to. You don't want to mess up that relationship with KD.
Okay, KD's on the contract for a couple of years, right?
Does that mean anything in the NBA now?
Not anymore. Not anymore for another conversation we're about to have after this one. I don't know. I'm thinking that KD and Harden probably was in that meeting like, look.
Do what y'all gotta do.
Do what y'all gotta do.
Trying to ball.
We're gonna be here. We're gonna give our team their all. And I don't know. That's why now it has me thinking, what the heck is KD and Kyrie and Harden and Kyrie's relationship probably looking like through all of this? Because again, the whole idea is to have a big three going after a championship. Now you don't have that. And I agree with you, Marv. KD and Harden alone with the right pieces around them can still be a hell of a team. KD and Harden alone is still better than the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
So,
and the Nets have a really good team this year.
Yeah, they have a solid roster. And they can definitely come out of the East and make it to the finals. And add Kyrie to the mix, you definitely have them coming out the East and going to the finals as long as they can stay healthy. But it's just an interesting situation now, and we have to wait and see what the hell is Kyrie Irving going to do. Because, like I said, it's at a crossroads. You either can get vaccinated and get back to work, or you're retiring. Like, I'm assuming if he's not playing, they're not going to pay him, similar to another situation. Like, he's not going to get money.
I think eventually Kyrie gets vaccinated.
I thought it would have been happened by now.
I think he eventually does. The fact that already we're starting to get articles coming out on why he's doing what he's doing and such. You know, Kyrie just takes longer than anybody else, but I think eventually he does. That's a lot of money you're still leaving out on the table, no matter what, no matter how rich you are.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you a question, but yeah, I would assume Kyrie gets vaccinated, similar to, I think, what Marcus Smart and even Andrew Wiggins kind of said, like, they weren't trying to deal with all the BS that comes with not being vaccinated and can't play and can't do this and that and protocols. They literally got vaccinated because they just weren't trying to deal with the BS and lose money. But my question to you is, because you're saying you eventually think he gets vaccinated, does he get vaccinated within the next week? Because the season starts a week from tomorrow, which is Wednesday. Is he vaccinated before the season starts?
I don't know, man. That dude's too unpredictable. I think so. I think eventually he gets vaccinated, but I don't know if it happens as soon as in a week.
So Brooklyn Nets are starting the season with no Kyrie, and he'll randomly get vaccinated and make his return at some point in the season.
Yeah.
All right.
We're headed, man. That's the reality that we're heading into.
I hear you. And here we go with another situation where we got to wait and see what happens with Kyrie. And as we talk about that one NBA situation, we pivot right to another NBA situation where Ben Simmons, in my opinion, has finally seen the light and has come to his senses. And, you know, I think the report from Wojnarowski was that Sunday night, man pulled up to Philly, pulled up to the arena and got his COVID test because I guess he's now planning on rejoining the team, or within the next week or so, he's going to rejoin the team. And in this situation here, all I got to really say is Ben Simmons, is about damn time you've come to your senses. Because in my opinion, everything that you was doing before was pretty stupid, pretty stupid. So I'm happy Ben Simmons has come to his senses and is now you know, wanting to get back on the basketball court, wanting to rejoin the Philadelphia 76ers, because at the end of the day, the only thing that's necessarily going to fix the situation for him is playing basketball and playing good basketball.
Yeah, he had to come back. And question is what finally made him come back. Obviously, the money is a big thing here. I mean, he already lost $1 million already without showing up to any of the training camp practices and the preseason games. He lost some money. And then you got to think of the agent, Rich Paul. It doesn't matter either. You have one of your clients just not playing basketball and losing money. Makes the agent look real bad. And Rich Paul, you know, we know the connections with him and LeBron. He's one of the, if you're an agent, I know your name. That means you made a name for yourself here in the NBA. Rich Paul's made a name for himself. It doesn't look good on him that he had one of his clients just chilling, sitting back, not doing anything. He can't make any offers too. He's looking at Ben Simmons like, look, Ben, you got to give me something to work with here. I need something to work with. You gotta play. You gotta play well. Are you gonna feel some type of way? Maybe. Sixers are not really messing with you anyways. If you play well, they will trade you. But it's gonna be awkward. Doc Rivers has a lot of ass kissing to do to mend defenses as best as he can. Joel already said what he said, and you know, at the end of the day, it's basketball. They've played with each other before. Once they get on the court, things can work out. It's just going to be awkward for a little bit. He's going to get the heat from the Sixers fans. Sixers fans are going to boo the hell out of him. He's going to get the heat. But he has to accept it. He has to be a man and accept, hey, why are they booing me?
Yeah, I mean, I stand packed with the idea that this whole sense, the majority of this situation is Ben Simmons' fault. And I've said this numerous times, and I have people who've come to me, well, the Sixers and Doc and Embiid kind of threw Ben Simmons under the bus with what they said about him. And you know what? Yeah, they kind of did. In the heat of the moment and in the situation after how that series unfolded, you shove microphones in front of Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid's face. They probably did kind of say some stuff about Ben Simmons, but unfortunately or whatever, it was Ben Simmons' fault because he played like trash. He played like trash. And coming out of that, he took it so personal with what Doc Rivers had to say and what Embiid had to say that he decided to just run away from the organization, run away from the city. So, yeah, Ben and Embiid and Doc Rivers said what they said, but overall, it's Ben Simmons' fault because of his play on the court, which led to the situation. So fast forward to today, yeah, I think coming back to the organization, Doc Rivers has already had kind of open arms for you to return. Embiid said what he has said, but I think in some ways Embiid is still open to having Ben Simmons because that's what it seemed like from Embiid. And the rest of the team whoever's on the team who's on there wanting contracts, they're just like, hey, man, we just trying to play basketball. We don't care. Make it work whatever kind of way. The team will be fine. Ben Simmons in the city of Philadelphia, that will not be fine. Because yeah, them Sixers fans are pissed off with how things have went and how he handled business. And they have every right to be pissed off. I'd be pissed off too if I was a Sixers fan. I'm pissed off and I'm not even a Sixers fan. So he's just going to have tough skin. I think he returns. He gets back with the team and the facilities working out. And look, you're probably going to get traded. But in the Ben Simmons' mindset right now, if I'm Ben Simmons, I need to play basketball really well. And maybe that will win over some fans for you a little bit and not having you get booed every time you touch the ball or enter the game or whatnot. But you just need to play basketball very well because if you're still in the mindset of because I'm thinking Ben Simmons is still in the mindset of I want to get out of Philadelphia. I don't know if he returned to the facility Sunday night with the mindset of, okay, well, let's try to fix this and whatnot. I don't know if you return with that mindset. But if he's still in the mindset of like, look, I need to get the hell out of Philadelphia. I don't want to be anymore. Your only goal and mission right now is to be the best version of Ben Simmons possible so that you can get your ass traded out of there. Still, you come back, play great basketball, still reiterate that you want to trade. I think it can end up working out for everybody. It can work out for possibly Ben Simmons. because he'll get out of there. It can work out for the Sixers because you'll probably get something good in return if Ben Simmons is able to be the best version of Ben Simmons possible. But I'll stand by the same facts over and over again that this whole situation is his fault, but I'm happy that he came to his senses and wants to get back to being a basketball player once again.
Yeah, and show us an improvement. Don't come back the same way.
No, hell no. You can't, because it's only going to be worse for you. Show it's not going to get any better.
Yep.
But let's keep it pushing here, man. We got a lot of topics for sure. Once again, it's Double M Live. Hit that share button. Hit that like button. Join the conversation. We still moving on with a lot of different things to talk about. Let's switch gears a little bit here quickly to a different sport. The world of combat sports. And let's talk some boxing here, Marv. Because this past weekend, we had the Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder, the trilogy, the third matchup. You know, the first matchup, I think, what did they end in a draw, I believe?
The first matchup was a draw.
The first matchup ended in a draw. Second matchup, Tyson Fury beat Deontay Wilder's ass and knocked him out. And in this past matchup on Saturday night, Wilder was able to hang on for as long as he could. It was a little bit more of the same that we saw in the second fight. And Wilder got his ass beat and lost again in the final matchup between these two guys. But, you know, boxing's weird. Maybe they'll fight again. I doubt they'll fight again. But boxing, you never know what can happen sometimes in boxing. But, yeah. What are your thoughts and feelings on the matchup, Marv? What you saw, what you just your takeaway from that fight?
I mean, if you're a boxing fan or someone who watches boxing enough, you kind of knew the results of all three fights. Maybe the first fight, you know, after Wilder knocked him out a couple of times, you thought maybe the second fight something could change a little bit, but Tyson Fury is the superior boxer. He's always been a superior boxer, and I'm not shocked at all for what I saw in the third fight. But let me say this. Very entertaining. Very entertaining boxing fight. I enjoyed every single minute of it. And I think Wilder came out with more fans than he did to the fact of how he withstood in that ring with Tyson Fury. He showed a lot of heart. He showed a lot of guts because he was outmatched. He was done. His legs were wobbly, and he was still trying to fight. And just from being at a big environment watching a fight, you could see the shift of people starting to support Wilder. Like, wow, this dude still is crazy. He's still in the ring. He's still in the ring, and he's still trying to fight Fury. And you know, once Fury caught his second wind after getting knocked out twice. It was over from there. Entertaining fight. I don't know where this trilogy ranks in like boxing lore. I mean, you had some great trilogies back in the day. You have obviously Riddick and Evander Holyfield. You have Ali Frazier. One of the biggest ones. Pacquiao Marquez is a big trilogy. I don't know where this one ranks, but it was definitely an entertaining three fights. Wilder dominated the heavyweight position. I mean, he was not a great fighter, but he had one of the strongest right hands in history, and that could knock out anyone. Done it to Fury a couple of times, but he can't get over that Tyson Fury hump, and that's okay. Is that Fury is the best right now, and that's just how it is.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, like you said, Fury is just a better boxer. Shout out to Deontay Wilder. As long as his career has gone on, he's been dominant because, like you said, he has that powerful right hand. His punches are powerful enough where you get hit by the man, could be over for you. You get hit by that man hard enough at the right position, he'll put your lights out really quickly. And he was able to take care of business like that for many of his fights. But he ran into Tyson Fury, who knew how to combat Deontay Wilder's style, and at the same time was just a better boxer. Better, much better boxer. Like, you watch these fights, and it's just, especially you're looking at, you know, Deontay Wilder come in, he's chiseled, he's built, you know, muscular, whatnot, and you, for a casual fan, you're looking at Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, like, yo, I know who the hell's winning this. Come on now.
No contest.
Tyson Wilder's about to beat that fat dude up. It don't matter. Tyson Fury's looked like different each fight. The first fight, he was trying to get back into shape. Like, he was kind of still big, but he was getting back into boxing and whatnot after being off for a long period of time. Then he came into that second fight. He was in much great, better shape, ready to go. He came into this fight, this third and final, maybe final fight, and he was back to his bigger self. But his skills, his mindset, his thought process, and it's just his knowledge of boxing never changed. Never changed. And he used the skill that he's had over all these years in understanding what it means to actually box to beat Wilder's ass. And that's literally what it was. I don't know how the hell Wilder was able to stand on his two feet. Because I'm watching it. And, you know, I'm like, yo, does anybody else see this? This man got no legs. His legs are just, they're just wobbly. It's like he's standing on toothpicks. He's standing on toothpicks. Like, I don't know how his legs were able to keep him upright for as long as he did. And I know there's a lot of holding, a lot of leaning on the ropes, whatnot. But I'm like, every round as it started going, I'm like, yo, every round, one good punch, and this man has to fall. One good, but he didn't fall until that final, whatever round it was that it finally ended. But for the majority of the match, he withstood everything that Fury was throwing at him. And it makes sense as to why you're saying, you know, the tide started turning a little bit in his favor, because you show that amount of heart. He showed that amount of will, like, people are going to be like, damn, this guy's tough. Like, wow, it's great to see. But at the end of the day, Fury is the better boxer. And in terms of Wilder, where he goes from here, he's never going to change his style. And Marv, we've had this discussion many times. Wilder's style at this point in time in his career, this age, it's never going to change. He is who he is. So he can have another fight or a couple fights after this, and he's going to be the same way. And he might get some big-ass knockouts a couple times. But I think, like, the cloud, and I don't want to say necessarily a dark cloud, but just the idea that, oh, he got great knockout power, like the Bronx Bomber. That's what his nickname is. The Bronze Bomber, something like that.
Bronze Bomber.
That nickname is all cool and all, but it's just going to be always there that, yeah, but he can't box. He can't box. Great power, but you can't box, unfortunately. I think that might be the story of Deontay Wilder when he's officially done and retired. Like, great power, knockout artist when he hits you with that right hand, but unfortunately, he just wasn't a great boxer.
Yeah. I mean, that was always his case. Obviously, it got highlighted with a guy like Tyson Fury. And I want to give Tyson Fury his props. I don't think people understand. Heavyweights are not supposed to box like that. He's just a technician. He's really good. He has great feet, great footwork, knows how to move his body around. He's just a very smart fighter. Heavyweights don't fight like that at all. It's very, especially his size, it's very rare to see that. And so, you know, all the props go to Tyson Fury. He's the best in the heavyweight division. And it's not in a division that doesn't have a lot of great fighters. He is the best. I mean, Anthony Joshua, he screwed things up with us. And, you know, we were supposed to get some decent fights to look forward to. Now, you know, if we do get a Wilder versus Joshua in the future, that's not going to have its lore as it once could have been a couple years back. And, you know, Fury, where he goes from here, he's solidified as the best heavyweight in his generation. Wilder's going to go down as number two. And it's not bad. It's not bad to go down as the second best. It's just that unfortunately, the best was right there with you as well. Like, it reminds me of, I brought it up, DC. Daniel Cormier for UFC.
Yep.
The best. He beat everybody. Everybody in his division. He beat them. And he beat them bad. And if there wasn't John Jones, we'd be talking about DC as possibly the greatest of all time. And it's crazy to think about that, but if there's no John Jones, no one ever thinks about DC as the greatest of all time now. We get many times by one person. But if there wasn't a John Jones, when we talk about Khabib, when we talk about Silva, DC would be up there. And it just doesn't get talked about because we've just seen him get his ass beat by one man every single time. Now, this man got demons. That's a whole nother thing we could talk about. This guy, man, has a lot of demons. But, yeah, it just reminded me of that. Just another guy, DC, the best at what he does, just ran into someone who's just better.
Yeah, I agree. I think that situation in MMA, UFC, is very similar to this situation with Wilder and Fury. Like Wilder, like you said, Wilder is one of the greats, but he's not going to be talked about or looked at like that because after these three matches with Fury, he got his ass beat every time, just like Cormier got his ass beat every time by John Jones when they met up. So very similar situation. Gonna definitely be curious to see where. I know all over the years they wanted to make the Wilder Joshua fight happen. In a weird way, it's no better time to happen than right now. You got two dudes coming off a loss. I think Joshua already put in his rematch clause with whoever the dude he lost to. I think that he already put back his rematch clause or whatever the case may be. But in my opinion, there's no better time for them two dudes to fight than right now. Wilder, Joshua, both coming off losses, have them fight and see who can kind of regain some kind of momentum in a fight like that. I think, and that's how they should build it. Like, these two dudes who are great in their division but had bad losses, a fight between Joshua and Wilder right now would be that who's taking that step to try to reclaim some type of glory. You know, whatever BS these promotion companies will put together. But yeah. I think that'd be the one I definitely would want to see right now.
I don't disagree. I mean, it won't make the numbers or the money, the millions and millions that they lost when they all three, Fury, Wilder, and Joshua, were undefeated. And there was times where Wilder and Fury was supposed, I mean, Joshua and Wilder was supposed to fight. They couldn't get the location or whether it should be in the UK or whether it should be in the US and who's running from who.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. And you've got Enko talking about Wilder versus Jake Paul. And that's, you take away these heavyweight fighters and you take away Canelo, the next thing people are trying to see is who Jake Paul is fighting. And you see these boxing entrances now. These entrances are wild. Wilder's entrance was wild, and Fury topped it off with, I don't even know what Fury was doing. And he had a Jesus cap versus the Trojans.
WWE, bro, they're trying to be like wrestling, you know. Yeah. And wrestling was all over that. You had Undertaker giving shout outs to Fury before the match, and Fury's had some run-ins with the WWE, and then Wilder came out, he had Big E, the WWE champion, doing his little promo video, like, you know, just trying to make some crossover things happen. I don't know what it is, but yeah, it's crazy how after you talk Wilder and Fury, the next most popular boxer in the world is probably, you know, and Canelo is probably Jake Paul. So Jake Paul versus Wilder fight, I don't think Jake Paul don't want them problems.
That's called murder.
Yeah, Jake Paul don't want those problems. But yeah, we have to see what happens with these fights and how these fighters progress from here after one of the biggest boxing matchups between Fury and Wilder in recent memory. We'll see where these two guys go from there. But right now, Fury is the king of the heavyweight division. So shout out to him in getting his victory in this third match with Wilder. But let's move on. We got a couple more topics here. Quickly. Want to just shout out the Boston Red Sox. A team very interesting season for the Red Sox this year, this 2021 season. They started off as one of the hottest teams in baseball. Then in the midst of it, throughout the course of the season, fell off. We're battling. Maybe there was a point in time we didn't even know if they were going to make the playoffs. Then they're kind of getting into wild card situation. Fast forward to now, they got that big victory against the Yankees in the wild card win or go home matchup. Then they ran into the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, not even the Devil Rays anymore, the Tampa Bay Rays, sorry, a team that won 100 games in the season. And most people, including myself, thought it was over for them. They got past the Yankees. Oh, boy. And I think I even tweeted out like, yo, I don't care whatever happens this playoff series. The Red Sox beat the Yankees' ass in Fenway. And that's all the excitement I needed. And they ran into the Tampa Bay Rays. And they beat the Rays, which is a surprise to a lot of people. And now they're in a position where they win four more games. They're right back in the World Series, a place that they were at 3 years ago. And no one thought they'd be in this position. You know, this roster isn't necessarily one of the greatest rosters that they've had. This is not one of the best Red Sox teams we've seen out of all the championship teams. I'm not sure this is one of the better ones. They're not even in the championship team. I mean, in the World Series or anything yet. But this Red Sox team is surprising a lot of people right now. They're hot, especially their bats. Their bats are hot right now. And if they can continue whatever magic they have going on right now, we could see the Red Sox in the World Series. And if you talk about, we were having this conversation the other day, Marv, in terms of Boston sports, Patriots get all the hype. Patriots, yeah. Brady, they get all the hype. The Boston Red Sox won the championship, the World Series in 04, 07, 13, and 18. That's a lot.
That's a lot of championships.
That's a lot of championships. And you're talking about this year, they're hot right now. They could get to another one in 2021, possibly. I don't want to jump the gun too much. You know, they still got to get through the American League Championship Series. But they have four World Series in our lifetime. That's a lot. Patriots have six, which is great. And then you got the Bruins with one, the Celtics with one. But the Red Sox are right there knocking on the door of being kind of at that same level of the New England Patriots if they're able to get another one or maybe another two. Who knows?
Yeah, and one thing about the Red Sox is last year they were in last place. You bring Alex Cora back in, and here they are in a situation where a lot of people didn't see the Red Sox in. So I think this right here just brings up another point of how good Alex Cora is as the manager for this team. And I think it really solidified him as well in ranking wise.
Yeah, literally. In that 2018 season where they had the best record in all of baseball. And I think that was Cora's first year. And he was able to make – I think it was his first year. I'm not too sure. His first year.
Yeah. Every time the Red Sox have won, it's been the first year of the managers.
Yeah. And Cora was able to make that magic happen. He missed a year because of all the situation allegations and his cheating thing going on. But he's back, and he's having this Red Sox team who is nowhere as good as they were in 2018 be in a position where they could – they're four games away from being back in the World Series. I agree with you 100%, Marv. You got to start looking at Cora and saying, damn, this dude really might be one of, if not the best managers in all of baseball right now. It's the debate is, if it's not there, it's definitely going to be there depending on how this Red Sox postseason finishes out. So we'll be watching. I believe the first game is Thursday against the Rays. The Rays were able to win their game and advance to the championship. I mean, sorry, not the Rays. I'm so sorry. The Houston Astros is the team that the Red Sox will be facing in the championship series. And we all know how controversial the Houston Astros is with their cheating situation over the years. And it's Alex Cora going up against his old team where he was cheating with. So people might be just looking at the Red Sox versus Astros and a bunch of cheaters playing
the cheating bowl,
the cheating series, like Cora's cheating with the Red Sox. Houston's still cheating right now. It's going to be a series with a lot of headlines and storylines. But hopefully we're in for a good series. And, you know, as Red Sox fans, hopefully the Red Sox come out on top and can make it to another World Series. So we'll be watching, you know, like we said, when they face the Yankees, we'll say it again. Let's go Red Sox, and let's see where this, where the rest of the season goes.
Yeah, man, exciting times for Boston right now.
Because, you know, Patriots is going. The NHL season's underway, I think, today. I don't know when the Bruins had their first game, but NHL season underway. Red Sox are still playing. Celtics start next week. Like, it's hot right now in Boston sports, with all teams kind of underway. So it's an interesting time of the year for Boston sports fans. But let's move on to our final topic here. And let me give a little disclaimer or whatnot. If you haven't seen this show, Marvin and I will spoil it for you.
Yeah, so you can leave right now. We won't feel no type of way.
If you don't care, please, by all means, join in and listen to everything we're about to talk about. But we will spoil this show for you if you haven't seen it. But we're going to get right into this show that is all over Netflix right now. Everybody's talking about it. I see kids, third graders, second graders, fourth graders, mimicking the games from this show during recess in PE. And at first, Marv, I didn't see Squid Game. So I'm watching it. These kids come up to me. Oh, let's play Red Light, Green Light. I'm like, eh, y'all want to play Red Light, Green Light? Out of all the games y'all could play right now, dribble a basketball, toss around a football, something, dodgeball, something. Y'all want to play Red Light, Green Light? But that was before I saw the show. The same day them kids said that to me, I went home and watched episode one. I said, oh, Squid Game. This is what these crazy ass kids is talking about.
Yeah. And the games are fun too. I played dodgeball with some of my, red light, green light with some of my kids, but I added a dodgeball with it. So if you are moving, you do get beamed.
So... And that's funny. I still gotta try that. When it comes to Squid Game, here's my thing. Going off just the beginning of the show, that first episode. First thing I gotta ask. You willing to get slapped that many times? And this goes to everybody in the chat who's seen this show. Are you willing to get slapped that many? Is your situation that dire, that bad? Are you willing to let somebody slap your face that many times just to get $50 or $100, whatever the case may be?
Yeah, man. They set it up to show us how desperate Mans was. The Mans was desperate. And the game is so simple that you don't believe you're going to get smacked that many times. It's such an easy game. You're like, all right, I got smacked once. Cool. He's not going to continue to beat me. That dude beat his ass. Beat his ass. To the point he finally got it. He got the money. He said, oh, wow. And it looked like it was worth it to him. When he got the money, he said, bet. And the guy said, but wait, there's more.
Yeah. I don't know if I could have withstand being slapped that many times. First time, I would have got slapped. I'm like, damn, this is what we do. Second time, I'm like, yo, I got to try. Third time, I'm like, yeah, I can't get slapped like this. I'm sorry. I don't know, man. I don't know if I could get slapped that many times. But again, his situation was bad. So,
Mans needed that money. Dude got slapped so many times, he forgot all about the money. He won. He won. He was ready to slap the hell out of it.
Yo. That dude grabbed his hand so quick, like, what the hell you doing? You think you about to slap me? I was crying when that happened. But yeah, and then you fast forward, you know, obviously, what's the comment here? He's lucky he didn't get slapped from my mom. It's because mom's hit different. Yeah. they get into the actual game, and... You know, if I'm that dude, because I put myself in a situation, I'm pulling up. Like, I get into that van, not knowing what's going on, and they put that little knockout sleepy gas. Oh, I'm shook. But, you know, nothing you could do about it. You in a van, they pump the gas in it. Nothing you could do. You get to the place. You see all these people. You're trying to figure out what's going on. I tell you what, Marv. After red light, green light, I'm not going back to that place.
Bro, not going back.
I'm not. I don't give a damn how dire my situation is. I'll figure out something else in life other than playing some games where people's getting sniped to my left and right. I'm not. When they've been back in the room and say, let's take a vote, yo, I'm to the front of the line pressing, no, I'm out. Get me the hell up out of here. I'm not. I would not stay in there. Not a chance.
The question I always ask everyone who's watched Squid Games is the first game, when that first person got clapped and everyone started running, it's very easy to think, oh, man, I would have just stayed. I wouldn't have ran.
I'm dead, Marv. I'm dead.
Mother, people was running.
I'm dead. And when it was soon, people started running. Ping, ping, bang, zing, zing, zang, zing, 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 zang.
Yo, I see someone get shot. Like, I'm gone. Yeah.
I'm out. I'm banging on that. I wanted to bang on that door too. Like, nah, let me out. So in actuality, I'm not making it out of there because I'm running too.
I'm gone. For the people who stayed and didn't move, you know how much willpower you have to not move while people are just getting all you hearing pew 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 the whole time.
Yeah,
wild. But that's why I liked Squid Game, not only due to the fact that obviously it's very intense, the games are very intense, but the it makes you question and just look at humanity as a whole. How much what people would do for money. And it's not like they over exaggerate in Squid Game. Like, these are real life situations, and I believe that people would make these sick decisions. How people will turn on someone for their lives. And when they saw the money drop, because at first everyone wanted to leave, then they saw that money drop and it's like, oh, I can be a 100 millionaire. Let maybe I could win this out. It's just crazy to see how humanity works and stuff like that. So that was another real reason why I enjoy Squid Games.
Yeah, it's crazy how people saw people to their left and right get shot and killed. But once they went back into the room and a couple dollars dropped from the ceiling, some people like, you know what? Maybe I will stay. And I'm seeing Sam in the comments like, these people had nothing to live for. I'm like, how dire does your situation have to be where you're like, look, whatever's going outside these walls is much worse than being in here. And I'm willing to stay in here and risk my life just so I can get that money over there. It's crazy to see. Out of all the games, which one to you was the wildest? And this goes for people in the chat too. Which games were the wildest to you?
No, what's the one I think about all the time? Tug of War. Yo, your team is ass on Tug of War. Why are you getting dragged? You just, what are you thinking about?
That you can do. Like, I mean, there's nothing you can do in any of these games.
You're just getting pulled. You're like, yo, these are so bad right now. I'm going to die because of this team, and there's nothing you can do. You're probably trying the hardest you can, and if you're losing, oh my god, that feeling must be the worst. Because the other ones are kind of instant. The other ones are quick deaths,
like the glass
the last one, you fall, it's over. Yeah. The red light, green light, it's a bullet to your head. The marble one, it depends. But the tug of war, you have for 10 to 15 seconds, you know it's over for you. You're like, yo, I'm falling to my death right now.
Yeah, because of these bums. We suck. Whole team suck.
Because of these bums next to me, I'm about to lose.
And it's crazy how they put you in them like, yo, figure out your team. And you don't even know why you picking people for. You're just trying to, because I'm laughing at it like, well, I'm picking a man because that's a man. I don't want no. I'm not playing with no woman. I don't want a woman on my team. But you don't know what the situation is. You don't know what the game is. I agree with our guy Patrick in the chat saying that to me the one on glass is pretty crazy too. Because like, I'll go in that room. It's like choose a number between 1 and 16. You don't want to go first.
I forgot. You forget. You don't know what.
You don't want to go first. You don't want to go last because you don't know what the heck it is. You want to be in the middle, but like, that glass one was crazy to me. Just yeah, take like, a step and you just done.
Especially if you're like number three or number four and you know what's what, you know the game now.
Yeah, it's nothing you could do. And people are savage. And you know what? That one dude, the dude who went to Princeton, whatever college it was, the dude kept talking about.
Woo.
I never trusted that dude from the jump. He just seemed like Something about him just rubbed me the wrong way from the beginning of the show. What's Sam saying? No sound. I don't
y'all
know.
Y'all can't hear us?
I don't know if that means he can't hear us. I don't know what's going on. YouTube don't like the fact that we spoiling Squid Games or something. Not too sure.
Let us know if y'all can hear us. Or maybe you can't hear one of us.
Don't know what's going on. Oh, dang. YouTube don't like that we spoiling.
Sam said he can hear us.
I don't know what's happening. YouTube maybe don't like the fact that we spoiling. I don't know what it is. All I know is Squid Game is crazy. I didn't like the ending. I did not like the ending. I don't know why that dude dyed his hair red. Maybe something I missed, but why the hell he dyed his hair red for?
I guess it's like symbolism of him being mad and angry. And I think... I don't know. So some type of symbolic thing of him surviving. What don't you like about the ending that he didn't go see his daughter?
I definitely don't like the fact that he didn't go see his daughter.
that man will save anybody, do anything heroic. But when it comes to seeing his daughter,
I didn't like that. Dude got all the way to the plane just to turn around just because the dude kind of, I guess, provoked him. So was it going to be a season two of him trying to go back and destroy the thing and take it down? Like, I don't know.
They had to do that. I think the writer of the show gave himself flexibility, saying, if this show pops off, I need to make sure that there's a season two. And that's the only way you could try to, if it didn't pop off, obviously we'd have got Squid Game just how it is. But he gave himself an out to do a season two just in case. And now we most likely gonna get a season two. My question is, do you think the officer is dead?
The officer
who's looking for his brother.
Oh, the dude who fell off the cliff.
Yeah.
No. I already thought in my mind he was going to jump off that cliff because that was the only way out. And I don't like how they didn't give us more to that situation. Especially when he said them couple of words and we couldn't figure out what he was talking about. I guess that also goes into what you're saying, how the writer got other stuff he need to dive into with that situation. But I don't necessarily believe he's dead. Shot him in the shoulder and then he fell off the cliff. Like the way they were showing the camera, him looking over, I think it was already in his mind like, damn, if the only way to escape is to jump, I'm ready to jump. But then the dude showed to be his brother. So then he got to be like, he froze a little bit. So that I don't think he's dead. My question to you is, to everybody else, did you expect that old man to be who he was? Did that come off as a big surprise to you when that happened?
I didn't expect him to be who he was, but I knew he wasn't who he was. Does that make sense? So I didn't expect him to be the guy who's donating the money and running the organization, whatever. I didn't expect that. But I never believed he just was a random guy playing the Squid Games. I never believed that at all. I also peeped, they never showed when they killed him. I also peeped that when watching. I'm like, they never really showed him die. I peeped that. But I wasn't expecting, not to say I expected that. I didn't expect the ending at all. But I didn't. There was something funny about him to me always.
Okay, yeah. I didn't notice they didn't show when he got killed. They just heard the gunshot.
You heard a gunshot.
It looked like our man Driz and Top Boy.
Exactly.
Heard a gunshot, but they didn't show it. So now that got me thinking Driz is alive.
Exactly.
Now that got me. That's how they're doing it. Now I'm thinking Driz is alive too.
Been trying to tell y'all. I gotta
go back on our group chat and say that when we get off the show.
No, you're gonna get some people mad.
Drizz is alive. Now that I see Squid Game, I also think Drizz is alive. Samson, old dude, fooled him. Thought he got clapped in the little dog. I just thought how funny how soon as they got to the game, dude shot to play Marvels, and the old dude just
Yo, you know how stressed you gotta be?
That dude had patience. I would have smacked that old dude like, yo. I'm taking these marbles, but you got dementia or whatever it is. I don't got time for this. Just give me these damn marbles, and you could go peep your dollhouse or your hometown, whatever you was looking for. And a lot of patience.
One thing that's confusing to me is the workers, the employees, whatever. What were they doing with like the inside of people's stomachs, like the?
They were selling organs.
Was that part of the plan, or were they doing that on their own? Like, that was their side hustle.
Yeah, like, I don't think that was, because the way they were sneaking the doctor off,
they were sneaking. Yeah, so the headmaster didn't know this.
I think that was those few workers who knew they could cut these people up and sell organs to get money. They was doing that on the low low.
Okay.
Because they wouldn't have been sneaking them off through side rooms. Yeah, they showed dude in the control room changing the camera view. That's how I was like, oh, this is some side stuff going on.
And Samson, that's why they got
him. Oh, yep. Right, and that's also how you knew. Dude was like, we don't play that in here.
That confused me a lot. I'm like, yo, what is this little side hustle that's going on here?
You know what was crazy to me? How the crazy chick killed the dude on the glass game?
Yeah.
I didn't think they was going to go out like that.
That dude just wanted box. dude just wanted box. She said, yeah, cool. You coming down with me.
Yo, she grabbed him and broke the glass and sacrificed, killed both of them. My goodness.
He survived, bro. He was not supposed to survive that Marvel game.
Nah. That smart dude. Savage. Ruthless, bro. Ruthless, dude. A crazy way to go out. I'm trying to think if there's anything else from that game, from the show, that caught my attention. I don't know. Interesting show. I definitely will watch a season 2, because definitely looking that way. The way this show's popped off, and it got kids and adults going crazy for it. The season 2, they got to be writing that script up right now. Might be done.
Don't have these kids watching the show, please.
It wasn't me.
No. I'm talking about in general. I work with high schoolers. I was looking at my high schoolers like, damn, guys, like, easy on that show. There's a lot of gruesome things in that show. Sometimes I had to look away a little bit.
Yeah.
But I can understand why it's so popular. It's such an easy concept of a show.
These kids where I work, they took the speaker and started playing the music from the show.
Jesus.
While they were playing Red Light, Green Light.
That's too creepy.
And again, this is all before I saw the show. So I'm like, they're like, hey, can you play this song for us? I'm like, I'm not playing a song for you. But they're like, all right, we'll do it. I'm like, look, y'all, we want to play music. No swears. You cool. They just started playing that music. I'm playing Red Light, Green Light. And I'm sitting there like, yo, what is going on? Went home and watched it, and now I completely understand. Sam saying, rest in peace to Ollie. What a peaceful guy, man. He didn't deserve to go out like that, man.
What a dummy. What a dummy.
How did he die again? Wait, I'm forgetting.
The guy tricked him and switched the marbles for rocks.
Oh.
So Mike laughed.
Yo, just sit here. Let me hold that for you. See, this is much better.
A dummy, bro.
To open a bag to a bunch of pebbles. Oh my goodness. That dude Wu really finagled him, bro.
Bad.
He said, yeah, go around and ask other people for marbles and we'll team up together. He had that dude hook, line, and sinker dummy.
The thing is, Wu started getting tight. Prior to all that, Wu was like, nah, you're cheating. Once I saw that dude's anger, you can't say nothing to me, bro. You can't say nothing to me.
Oh, my God. Dude,
Ali walking down, la-da-da-da-da. Okay, they're playing, la-da-da. All right, they're playing. Yeah. That dude got him bad.
Listen, said time's up. This dude Ali said, "Hey, I ain't worried about it. I got my 10 marbles right here. Bag of freaking rocks." Oh man, comedy. Well, not comedy. Rest in peace to that dude. He was just a nice guy.
Just a nice man.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how they do with season two, because they got people hyped up. You got to come back better than ever, another season.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest shows I've seen. Like when I started watching, I watched a little early. I didn't expect it to get, but I knew personally me, I was telling everybody about it. I was telling everyone, yo, you guys need to watch Squid Game. You guys need to watch. So I can just imagine people that the word of mouth just went crazy. And then the memes started blowing up and mm-hmm. TikTok and all that stuff started to get a hold of it. It's the biggest show in the world.
Definitely, when I turned on Netflix one day, it definitely popped up on the screen, but I was like, the hell, Squid Game? I don't got time for this. But then, like you said, it popped up everywhere, got kids around me playing it, so I was like, all right, now I got to tune in. So I saw the hype. Solid show. Can't say nothing about it. Solid show indeed, but
whew. Double M, episode 93. That's how you do it.
93. A lot of topics, a lot of conversations. Y'all in the chat giving y'all 2 cents. I love it, man. This is what we love. This is why we here. 93 episodes and still going. We on the road to 100. Keep rocking with us. That's all we can say. Keep rocking with us. We're going to continue to pump out great content. We march into 100. We're going to get to 100 and just be on the lookout for what that could look like. Shout out to our guy, Sam, the executive producer in the chat. I see you, Sam. I know our guy Soul Brother was in here earlier. It's Double M, man. Marv, take us home, guy.
This is Double M Live. Mike Nice, I'm DJ Meez. We appreciate all you guys. Check us out in the Airways podcast format. After tomorrow, we'll see you guys next week for episode 94. We are out of here.